Thank you. Please be seated. So good to see you today on this third Sunday after Easter. Wolfgang Borchert was a young German who was wounded severely as a soldier during World War II and never fully recovered from his wounds. He wrote poetry about the war and about his experience of despair and difficulty. In one of his short lines of poetry, he wrote, "A lighthouse I would be, in wind and night for cod and smelt, for every boat. Yet I myself am but a ship in distress." And today's gospel made me think of that little line from Borchert's poetry. You can find his stuff on the internet, by the way. That these people who were walking back home from Jerusalem were like a ship in distress. Jesus had been killed violently. They had been following him, thinking that he was going to renew and restore Israel. All those hopes had been dashed. And they had heard some reports that the tomb was empty, that the body wasn't there, and that people had seen angels who told them Jesus was alive. But that only added to their confusion. They were like people who had heard something about the resurrection, but hadn't really gotten it yet. So they were in great despair. And when Jesus asked them what was going on, as if he didn't know, this is a beautifully told story, as you can tell. They stopped walking, looking sad. It just occurs to me that there's so many common ingredients to our experience and their experience that I wanted us to explore together for a moment today. They're so much like us, and their experience is so much like ours. Here they were, walking and talking with Jesus, and they didn't recognize him. Now, that's not unusual in the resurrection stories. It's true that a number of people, like Mary Magdalene, for example, in the Easter Sunday Gospel, didn't recognize Jesus. We don't know exactly why that was. But it's certainly a wonderful little detail for us. How many of us have either lost our faith or never had any real faith? We've heard about the resurrection. We sort of know that it's in the Bible, but Jesus, if he was a living reality, is not anymore. And life feels more discouraging than encouraging, more in despair than in plenty, less hopeful and more unhopeful. And yet, we walk through each week wondering where God is and where Jesus is, and all the while Jesus is walking beside us trying to get through. It's such a wonderful story about how much our experience resembles theirs. Today we observe the Holy Eucharist or Holy Communion. And for people who are not familiar with the Episcopal tradition, that's the eating of bread and wine. Now, some of us, when we go to church, say, what do you mean you don't know? We'd be amazed how many people don't know. That's almost like insider language. Eucharist, communion. But together we pray. And our faith is that Jesus hears our prayer. And at some point in this worship service, takes up his residence in that bread and in that wine so that it really becomes his body and blood. Not in some literal way, that it's really blood and really flesh, and not like if some we once thought it was just lurking barely beneath the surface of the bread and wine, so that if you scratch the bread it might bleed. That was an old belief. That's not our belief. We don't really understand how this happens or even when it happens in the service, but we believe that the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, that he's really present there. Now, the old belief at one time was that it happened in the words of institution, "This is my body, this is my blood," so ring the bells today, you know, at those words, because that was the belief at one time. But the truth is, God's a little bit beyond our control, so when these things happen, we can't determine. Just like in today's gospel, when they recognized him, what did Jesus do? Because he's always a little bit beyond our control, as it were. But that's our faith. That Christ becomes present to us in bread and wine. And also in the reading of Scripture. You know, there are two moments in the service when we elevate something. We just elevated the gospel book. and we will elevate the cup and the bread in communion. And that's our way of saying these are the two primary ways that Jesus makes his presence known to us. He speaks to us through the gospel, through the scripture, through the prayers, through the hymns, maybe through the homily, we hope. True false question, which is more important, the reading of the gospel or the preaching of the sermon? Reading of the gospel. Well, you know that Jesus is going to speak to you through that. The homily, that's a little more iffy. But those are the two primary ways that Jesus makes his presence known to us. We call the Eucharist a sacrament, a visible sign, bread and wine, of an invisible grace, the presence of Jesus. So that literally the saving power of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus comes into this room. And we receive him to be forgiven, to be transformed, to be strengthened. Robert Capon, an Episcopal priest, put it this way. The Eucharist, to take the highest view of it, is precisely a sacrament. It's not a transaction, and not the mixing up of a fresh batch of body and blood of Jesus so we can reinsert him into our lives. Nor is it merely a reminder of some wonderful things that one time Jesus did for us a great many Fridays and Sundays ago. It's the real presence, under sign of bread and wine, of the Jesus who has indwelt all our lives in all his power, all alone. So the issue for us, I think, becomes very similar to the issue these people have. They walked with him, they heard him speak, and it wasn't until he broke the bread that they knew who he was. It's like in this moment, hearing scripture, hearing the hymns and the prayers, participating in the bread and wine, we have a chance not only to experience and confront the presence of Jesus, but to find out more fully who we are. Because who we are is Christians, followers of Jesus. Tattered faith, maybe, weak, lost faith, emptiness, the resurrection, maybe not a real experience for us like it wasn't for them that day, but that is who we are. And we are people called to take seriously who Jesus is and what he says. You remember in this gospel, when they are dismayed, Jesus says to them, "Oh, how foolish and slow of heart you are not to believe." Now, the point being that if we really believe that Jesus makes his presence known to us through the scripture and the readings and the prayers and the homily and the hymns, if we really believe that Jesus becomes present to us in bread and wine, then we have a responsibility. Just like Jesus called them to be responsible, our responsibility is to take this seriously. And to ask ourselves a basic question, what am I not seeing? If it feels like God is absent, if it feels like Jesus is not present in my life, is that really true? Or is it that I'm just not seeing? And of course, my answer would be because we're just not seeing. So how much could we be missing? So our prayer needs to be something along the lines of, "Oh Christ, touch my life like you did theirs. Open my eyes and grant me grace to see what I've been missing." John Cheever, a novelist writing in the 40s and 50s, was a Roman Catholic who struggled with his sexual identity and he struggled with addiction. And in a Sunday service, he was thinking, he wrote these words down. "There are two known worlds, the visible and the invisible. And this drop of wine and crust is the link between the two. I seem to see the chain of being reaching from beneath the earth up into the sky. And I think of the prayers that rise up in the chancel. Shall I sell my beer stock? Shall I stay away from Mrs. Pigott? Shall I enter Ralph in Princeton? Should I trade in the station wagon?" But among them, some of the prayers of worth, some of the deepest yearning. Cheever saw the invisible world in the bread and wine and wrote about it. That's part of our challenge, to pray for vision. Now, what did these people do as soon as they got it? They went to bed, right? No. In the middle of the night, they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the others. See, part of the responsibility we bear is that if Christ fills us with his presence and the risen Christ becomes real to us in bread and wine, which is what we're praying for, then there's an urgency that that creates and a sense of concern that everyone shares. Maybe the symptom of our malaise is that we don't have the urgency. So the urgency comes and we can't wait to pray for a neighbor or a friend or a relative and to spend some time with them over coffee and hear their story, and if the opportunity presents itself, share ours and then invite them to come to worship. Did you know that 85 to 90% of the people who show up in church for the first time came because somebody they knew invited them? That's why they show. Someone cares enough to pray for them and invite them. So part of our responsibility is to pray that we can see and experience the risen Christ in ways we've been missing, that our eyes will be open, and that we can then become what we eat, become bread for those who are starving for the same Christ who exposes himself to us Sunday by Sunday in the Eucharist. Those are our challenges, I think. That opening poem by Borchert, that he wanted to be a lighthouse but was a ship in distress, that speaks to me sometimes. Speaks of who I am at times, and I hope this poem speaks of who I am as well. It's quite a contrast. Julia Cameron's poem, Jerusalem is Walking in This World. This is a great happiness. The air is silk. There is milk in the looks that come from strangers. I could not be happier if I were bread and you could eat me. Joy is dangerous. It fills me with secrets. Yes, hisses in my veins. The pains I take to hide myself are sheer as glass. Surely this will pass, this wind like kisses, the music in the soup, the group of trees laughing as I say their names. It is all Hosanna. It is all prayer. Jerusalem is walking in this world. Jerusalem is walking in this world. Amen.